Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Nirantara Srimad Bhagavatam, Kiridas Maharaj ki, Gopayamani ki. Okay. So tonight we'll finish chapter 56 of the 10th canto. So it's verses 34 to 45. What is the chapter called? Shaman Tattva Guru. Quite a famous fast line, quite a famous chapter. Text number 24. So Jambavan is fighting with Krishna. The fight went on without rest for 28 days, and the two opponents striking each other with their fists, which fell like the cracking blows of lightning. Raj, can you read the purple?
Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti points out that the fight continued day and night without intermission.
Any points?
Jayambavan was so eager, he didn't know that he's fighting with Lord Krishna, Lord Ram. And so he kept on fighting,
he thought
it will be in ignorance.
Good. Anything else?
Lord Krishna's, there shows fighting spirit.
That's what?
Lord's fighting spirit. Lord is always ready to fight, strong.
Good. Any other points?
He enjoyed fighting with his devotees.
Yeah. That's the point. Anything else? Oh. Any other points? Oh. Why so late, you three? Oh. Setting world records in Krishna consciousness. Every day is late for me, isn't it? Try to come on time, please. Please leave 5 minutes earlier, aren't you? Please. Okay. So, only the devotee can satisfy the Lord. So when it came to fighting, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur mentions previously that Kamsa could not satisfy Krishna, Jarasandha could not satisfy Krishna, the previous demons that he fought could not satisfy him, because they didn't have the potency necessary to fight with Krishna. So when he needs to feel complete satisfaction, he has to fight with his devotees. So you'll see that the devotees came as Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, Ravana and Kumbhakarna, Shishupala Dandabhaka. Actually, they were devotees, so they had the potency to fight with him. And similarly, in this situation, then Jambavan is his devotee. And only the devotee can fully satisfy his desire. Because the non-devotee doesn't have the same potency or the same power. That power of the devotee is given by the Lord himself. So when Krishna was fighting with them, with Jambavan, he felt satisfaction. Of course, no one can fight with Krishna because he is Krishna. But still, he felt some satisfaction was there. Because the devotee has almost the same power as him. Just like when that big snake in Vrindavan was called, not Kaliya, the other one, Agasura. And so when Agasura came, and then the coward boys ran into the mouth of Agasura, then the acharyas point out that each one of Krishna's friends was powerful enough to kill Agasura. Krishna didn't have to do that because the devotee also has that power, because they're almost as powerful as the Lord in one sense, because the Lord gives so much potency to the devotee. So they could have killed, but still Krishna always, they prefer that Krishna performs those pastimes. So Krishna himself entered Nagasura and destroyed him. So Jambavan is giving that kind of satisfaction to the Lord, the potency, because he's so powerful that him the Lord can fight. Any points?
Would Agasura be devotee
of Lord? Agasura, no.
So why did Lord Krishna want to kill him?
Krishna kills all the devotees. Oh, sorry, all the demons. His bulging muscles pummeled by the blows of Lord Krishna's fists, his strength faltering and his limbs perspiring, Jambavan, greatly astonished, finally spoke to the Lord. So Krishna is known as Vipu and the devotee is known as Anu. Anu means insignificant or small or the follower. And Krishna is known as Vipu, which means he has unlimited vaibhav. Vaibhav means unlimited potency and power. So, as we said, there was no real battle taking place, but still, Krishna allows himself to fight with the devotee. And even though the devotee is small and Krishna is infinite, but still there is some pleasure which is derived from Krishna wrestling with the devotee. So Jambavan was a bear, and extremely large, extremely powerful. So this would be, visually, it would be very captivating and attractive to have Krishna fighting with such a large bear in this particular pastime. So after some time he began to realize that even though he was beating Krishna with all his power, still, Krishna was not showing any sign of
fatigue.
You see, also in the pastime, in the Mahabharata, there was a great battle between Duryodhana and Bhimasen. So they, after the war finished, they took their clubs and they fought. And Bhima was stronger, but Duryodhana was more skillful. So after fighting for a long, long time, and they were hitting each other with the clubs, then people could not see it, but Bhimasen was becoming weakened by the power of Duryodhana's club fighting. So after some time, he felt like he was becoming tired and he might be defeated. But then Krishna said, strike the thigh, and then he struck the thigh. So everyone else becomes fatigued at some point in time. But the only person who does not suffer fatigue is Krishna, because it's an unlimited source of power. The power is just unlimited and never finishes. And also when we're on the spiritual platform, we don't feel fatigue either. You only feel fatigue when you relate to the body. Is anyone feeling fatigue? Okay. A couple of devotees? Most of you feel like you have energy? I feel completely fatigued. Every week of the year, I feel completely fatigued.
I feel fatigued every day at night.
What's that?
I feel fatigued every day at night.
You have a good excuse. And the body gets old, you feel. I'm not even old and I feel fatigued. Because the material energy wears you down. That's the potency of the material energy. Whereas the spiritual energy, we will not feel fatigued. It's only the body and the mind that feel fatigued. But Prabhupada, he had so much energy because it was coming from the spiritual platform. It was only at the very end when his body really became emaciated that Prabhupada was not able to do as much as he did. But up until that point, he was just full of energy. So when you're on the spiritual platform, you feel unlimited energy. And Krishna never feels fatigued because of his unlimited potency. Any points?
Could we say that Krishna was fighting with Jambavan?
Yeah.
To give Jambavan pleasure of fighting, or not really?
What was it?
Can we say that Krishna was fighting with Jambavan to give Jambavan the pleasure of fighting?
Yeah, both. Pleasure for himself and for Jambavan. they both enjoyed it. Fight's a good fight.
Because in Ramlila, Lord Arjuna took care of the Lord. So that was always there. And that was the healing kind is next. In the armies of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord will be able to. So at this point in time, Jambavan realizes that if someone can fight with me to this extent, then it has to be my worship in Lord Arjuna.
That's coming in the next couple of verses.
This one.
Okay, this one. Thank you. In this verse, Jambavan realizes this is his Lord Ramachandra. In this particular verse. It's true. I didn't know it. I thought I had written it down already. But he actually realizes this is Ram. Because while he's fighting, then he realizes he can't defeat this person. Anyone else he could defeat. But this person he can't defeat. So then he thinks, who is it? Who can it be if I'm fighting so ferociously? And even in my fighting, this person is not fatiguing, then he must be supreme. So then he realizes that Krishna is Ramachandra. He has the realization of this. Okay.
Yaman also inspired Lord Hanuman. Like, you have got so much power, you can just go across the ocean. Then he realized.
Jambavan said, I know now that you are the life air and the sensory, mental and bodily strength of all living beings. You are Lord Vishnu, the original person, the supreme, all-powerful, control lord. So Vishnu Chakravarti points out in the commentary that if you put all of us together, means every living entity in creation, we don't all together match Krishna. So it gives you an idea of how powerful Krishna is. So if we went outside, one of the cars is there, and if I tried to lift the car and push it over, I couldn't do it. But if I think all of us together in the room got together, I think we could do it. We could turn the car over. But then all of us together, plus everyone else in Australia, plus everyone else on the Earth, plus everyone in all the different planets and all the universes together, still you try to move Krishna, we can't move him. That's his unlimited potency. So Jambavan was getting this realization. Who is this? I'm fighting him so ferociously, but he's not even getting fatigued. 28 days non-stop.
Nice too.
And
nights.
Nice. Yeah, 28 nights, 28 days, and no fatigue being felt. So then he realizes this can only be one person.
Lord said, I'm service a problem. But that's a real problem.
There's an interesting analogy which was very helpful. He says it's like a butterfly trying to fight in Kuru.
Yeah.
Very nice analogy.
You are the ultimate creator of all creators of the universe and of everything created. You are the underlying substance. You are the subduer of all subduers, the supreme lord, and the supreme soul of all souls.
As Lord Kapila states in the Srimad Bhagavatam 3.25.42, Ritus Shatimantaya, let himself move about out of fear of me.
Any points there?
Krishna is referred to as Kali.
As
Kali.
Yeah. Anything else? So it says in the Bhagavatam that Krishna is feared by fear personified. So he is so powerful that everyone fears Krishna. ultimately. And what is his most fearful form?
Time,
pressure, and time, death. Yeah, I was thinking the Srinida. That's the most fearful form. When he's in that form, it says that even the demigods cannot approach him. He's so ferocious. Even Hiranyakashipu, when he saw that form, he became extremely concerned. Because it says in some pastimes, the Srinidad was so big that when he ripped Hiranyakashipu apart, he lost him in his fingernails. In the Bhagavatam says he was, you know, not that big, but in some pastimes he's so big, he just gets him like a little insect and goes, but then he goes, can't find it. That's how big it is. So imagine something that big and that powerful roaring at you and then coming in. This is the Lord's potency. And it says in the Chaitanya Bhagavat that millions of Lord Nisringadevas are insignificant compared to Lord Nityananda. Because Lord Nityananda is the source of all the other incarnations. Because the first expansion is Balaram, Nityananda, and then everyone else comes from there. So even all the Nisringadevas and all the different expansions are insignificant compared to the power of Lord Nityananda. And the power of Lord Nityananda is second to Krishna. So it shows his ultimate power. And then,
millions of us in the world?
Insignificant. So then, he is the creator, maintainer, and destroyer of this universe. When he creates the universe, the pores come from the skin. Right? That's how powerful he is. And just from the skin, a universe comes. Right now, we've just emanated from the pore of
Mahavishnu,
the Lord. Now, if you meditate on this, it shows how much power there is. That's from his pore. Our universe is the smallest universe. We're the last ones to come out. Our Brahma only has four heads. He's the smallest Lord Brahma. All the other Lord Brahmas are bigger and the universes are bigger and they've come out earlier. But our universe just came out recently. That shows how powerful creation is. And destruction, when he destroys the universe, it goes back into him. It shows how his ultimate power. So he's just playing with Yamavan, it's just like a lila, just to enjoy. But actually there's no competition involved when you're with Krishna. He just likes the feeling, so he allows it to take place. But he has unlimited power, so there's no match for him. Any points?
But Krishna Prabhu, I read somewhere, Prabhupada says, all Vishnu incarnations have the same strength.
Yeah, you could say like that. So, but that Vrindavan Das Thakur in the Chaitanya Bhagavad is showing the superior position of Balaram Nityananda. Because Balaram has more strength than his incarnations, because he's the source of incarnations. You?
That is fearful of Krishna, but devotees are not fearful of Krishna.
If you're a pure devotee, you're not fearful. We're fearful because we're not pure. If you're a pure devotee, you're not fearful of death. You are he who impelled the ocean to give way when his sidelong glances, slightly manifesting his anger, disturb the crocodiles and teeming yellow fish within the watery depths. You are he who built a great bridge to establish his fame, who burned down the city of Lanka, and whose arrows severed the heads of Ravana, which then fell to the ground. So Lord Ramachandra is also known as Purna Bhagavan. This is spoken of in the Laku Bhagavatamrita by Rupa Goswami. He explains that several of the incarnations are called Purna Bhagavat. Purna means complete, or they show more potency than the other forms of God. So who are the Purna Bhagavat? Krishna, Ram, the Sringadev, Balaram, or Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. So Krishna, Ram, and the Sringadev have special potency. They show more of opulence, more potency than other forms. So the smaller forms don't show, or the other forms don't show as much potency. So therefore, Rupa Goswami, he says these are Purna Bhagavan, or he gives a special category for these particular forms of God. So Ramachandra is Purna, he shows unlimited power, practically like Krishna. Any points? Shukadeva Goswami continued, O King, Lord Krishna then addressed the King of the Bears, who had understood the truth. The Lord-desired personality of Godhead, the son of Devaki, touched Jambavan with his hand, which bestows all blessings, and spoke to his devotee with sublime compassion. His grave voice, deeply resounding like a cloud. So, he had vijnana. This is explained by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur in the commentary. He reached the platform of vijnana. This is mentioned as two of the qualities of the brahmana in the 18th chapter of the Gita. So we have jnana. Jnana means?
Knowledge.
Yeah. And vijnana means you realize something. So we're aiming for vijnana. We don't just want to have knowledge. Sometimes devotees give class, but it's just all knowledge. You know, they quote this and they quote that, and you know, 12 Mahajanas, and they know all the details and all this, but it's all knowledge. There's no real rasa in the explanation. The explanation comes when you have vijnana, when you have realization. Just like when you do your exams, you know, what do I always say? Write your realizations. You know, just repeating the knowledge. Like sometimes when I'm marking all the exams, you know, I've told you over the years, and some of you just write their storyline. I already know the storyline because I came to the classes. So I know what happened. But then devotee likes, you know, some devotees write one page and half the pages, and then Krishna did this and it did, and I'm like, oh, I know it all. I was there. Right? So I heard it all. So it doesn't really tell me anything. So how can you get any, what we'd say, good marks? Because you're not showing any realization. You're showing memory.
Bhagavatam should not be changing.
What's that?
Bhagavatam should not be changing.
Prabhupada said you have to explain it in your own words. Repetition doesn't show that you learned anything.
But Bhagavatam should
not. No, but you're missing the point.
Some of the
Prabhupada says that we have to show realizations. Right? And when we examine, there are 12 aims in Shastric study. Right? One of them is knowledge, but the other one's realization. Because knowledge is knowledge. You know, the shloka is knowledge. Okay, you memorize the shloka, fantastic, that's good. Right? And then you remember a certain amount of knowledge, that's good. There's nothing wrong with knowledge, it's needed. We need to know the knowledge. Because right? Then we convince people about learning, we know the Shastra. But if you can't realize it and explain it, right, and put it into your own words and give your personal in. How are you progressing in Krishna consciousness? So we have to measure these things. So Jambavan, he realized this was Ramachandra. So imagine the realization at this point in time. This is the person he's been meditating on for thousands of years. This is the end of Dwapara Yuga. When was the last time you saw Lord Ramachandra? Back in Treta Yuga. So, you know, it's at least 500,000 years. You know, maybe even 1,000,000 years. And he's been meditating on this person for 1,000,000 years, 500,000 years. And suddenly he realizes, actually, it's it. And how is he feeling at that point in time? Very blissful, but he's also feeling extremely fatigued. Because this person who he's been meditating on for millions of years has just beaten him for 28 days. Right? So after beating him and beating him and beating him, he's feeling completely fatigued. So what does Lord Ram do? Krishna puts his hand on him, and as soon as he touches him, all the fatigue disappears and he feels completely refreshed again. So these are the benefits you'll get in Krishna consciousness. I'll ask you again, is anyone feeling fatigued or tired? Anyone? Yeah, Jug is. That's good. Jamuna is. Okay. But everyone else is feeling good? Okay, that's good. So the three of us, we're feeling fatigued and tired. So Srila Prabhupada says that when you go back to the spiritual world, all that fatigue, all that tiredness goes away. And we don't have to experience that anymore. It's a great blessing. And it is an impetus to go back to the spiritual world. The suffering we experience here makes us detach from this world. I wake up sometimes and then I think, oh, it's only another 40 years or 30 years or something, then maybe I can go back to being with Krishna. Because down here it's always fatiguing and tiring, and challenging being in this world. Hare Krishna.
German must be very, very strong, day and night.
Yeah, I mean the fight went on and on and on. So.
Your class gets rid of all our fatigues.
What is it?
Your class gets rid of all our fatigues.
That's good. Doesn't always work for me, but
if you're
feeling good, that's good.
You're smiling though.
Yeah, it's true. Because sometimes I come here and I'm very tired, and then when I do class, all the energy comes. So it's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Lord Krishna said, "It is for this jewel, O Lord of the bears, that we have come to your cave. I intend to use the jewel to disprove the false accusations against me." So why did Krishna come to get the jewel?
Because people were
defending.
Yeah. Because he was being defamed. And as we pointed out previously, we must maintain our reputation. You have to defend your reputation, actually. If people criticize you unnecessarily, then you have to say, well, that's not true. Because otherwise, everyone will say it, and then, if you lose your reputation, that's true. Sometimes if someone criticizes us unfairly, then we have to defend ourselves. Say, no, that's not true. I did not do like that. I did not say like that. If we did it, then we have to be humble. We have to say, okay, yes, I did do that. And I will try to improve. But otherwise, we have to maintain our reputation. So Krishna did like that. Right? He was being criticized, so he thought, okay, I'll rectify this. It's not good if they're criticizing me. So he went off to find the Shaman Takajul. But that wasn't the main reason he went. The main reason was Jambavan wanted to see him. So he went to see Jambavan. Because the devotee, Krishna Paritranaya Sadhana, Vinashaya, Chadushkritam. So three reasons why he comes, but the main reason is to satisfy the devotees. That's the main reason he comes. Because Prabhupada points out, he doesn't need to come to kill demons and that. He doesn't need to. He does in the pastime, in the course of the pastime. But the main reason he comes is to make the devotees happy. So he looks for the devotees. So you'll see, actually, as we go through the remainder of the 10th canto, he leaves Dwarka several times, and he goes to visit particular kings, aren't they? And Prabhupada will point this out. The Bhagavatam will put, the Acharyas will point this out. It's to satisfy those devotees. They have a desire to see him. So he'll travel certain places. So he wanted to go and see Jambavana. So Krishna always reciprocates for the devotee. Even us, he reciprocates. He may not come to see you directly, but that's because we don't want to see him so much. We don't have that strong desire. If we have the strong desire, maybe he'll even come and knock on your door. But at this point in time, we don't have that desire. So he's not coming.
But he wanted to satisfy him because he didn't, you know, fight very much when Lord Rama was fighting with Ravana and all that. So he wanted to satisfy him so that he can fight with Lord.
Yeah. Okay. Thus addressed, Jambavan happily honored Lord Krishna by offering him his maiden daughter, Jambavati, together with
the jewel.
Okay, so last week on Tuesday, we had the exam, but on Monday, we had class. It ends up that we were here on Monday. Last Monday, yeah, it's future time. Okay, but quite a few of you weren't there. Have you listened to the class?
Yeah.
You have? Okay. If you weren't there, try to listen, because what I explain in that class is very important for this section. Because now, Jambavan is about to give his daughter to Krishna as his wife. How many wives does he have so far?
One.
Only one. In this chapter, how many does he get?
Two. Eight.
In this chapter, only two more. Right. So this is the next one. So Rukmini is
number one.
Chandrava. Krishna, I explained this in detail. I may not explain it so much detail tonight, but I explained it in detail last week. So it's good if you listen because it'll tie in how it all works together. And there's more details which we'll tell in the next couple of weeks about how it's all connecting, especially this is described in Lalita Madhava by Rupa Goswami. He explains these details in great detail. So Krishna, at this point in time, Krishna is very distressed actually, because he left Vrindavan, he went to Mathura, and then he transported everyone to Dwarka, and then in Dwarka he got the news that all the gopis gave up their lives in separation, which is actually true. So Krishna, I mean, you can imagine how distraught Krishna must be. And then when he rescued Rukmini, he realized when he heard her ankle bells, actually. She came out of the temple, right? And he hadn't even seen her yet, but when he heard her ankle bells, in his mind he thought that's Chandravali, who was his second most dear gopi. And then when he saw her, he said, that's Chandravali. So he was pacified to a degree because he thought she's alive. Right? And then now, Jambavan says, take my daughter, and she is Lalita. Right? When Krishna left, Radharani, I explained this I think in detail, I said Radharani entered into the Jamuna, and as she entered into the Jamuna, she actually saw Krishna. Krishna manifested underwater. And then she saw him and she went to him and they embraced and then she lost consciousness. And Vishakha followed her. And as we described last week, then Vishakha, the Jamuna is an expansion of Vishakha. So she's entered in following Radharani. And then Krishna, he takes Radharani, and then the sun god appears on the water, and then Krishna gives Radharani to the sun god, and Vishakha follows, and then they go to the sun planet. And they take this jewel. This jewel is the Shamataka jewel, which is from the pastime of Shankachuda. You all know that?
Yes.
Yeah, I've explained that previously. This jewel. So the jewel goes as well. Then Lalita is on the bank of the Jamuna. She sees Radha and Vishakha enter the Jamuna, and they don't come back. So then she thinks they have drowned. So she thinks now there's no reason to live. I've lost Radha, Vishakha, and Krishna. So she goes to Govardhan Hill. She climbs up onto the top of the hill and she jumps off to fall down and kill herself. And then Lord Krishna, he inspires Jambavan to come, and Jambavan sees the girl jumping and he catches her and takes her back to his cave. And then the Shamantaka Jewel comes down to earth when Satyavan comes down to earth. She'll appear in the end of this chapter. So the sun god gives Satyajit the jewel, and he also, it's not mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, he also gives Satyavan, who is actually Radharani. So then the jewel is taken by Prasenna, who is the brother, and then the lion kills, and Jambavan kills the lion and takes the jewel and gives it to his son, and his son is just playing with it in the cave. And now he gives the jewel to Krishna along with Jambavati. So Lalita is about to come back to Dwarka to live. Now these expansions, Jambavati, Satyabhama, Rukmini, they're expansions of the original form. Just like when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, it's not the original Krishna leaving. Swayam Bhagavan, the original form, stays in Vrindavan always. And there are verses which substantiate that. Krishna never takes a step outside of Vrindavan. So in the same way, Radharani, Lalita, Vishakha, they never leave Vrindavan in the original form. So these expansions have left. So Krishna, the expanded Krishna, the Vasudev Krishna in Dwarka, is now being united with the expanded forms of the gopis. So they're all coming to meet together. So that's what's taking place. And by the arrangement of Yogamaya, they don't fully remember who they were. They don't have like full remembrance. Oh, we were the gopis and that. However, in Lalita Madhava, there is description that they do have a lot of recollection. So sometimes it says they don't remember, other times it says they do remember, and it's like that. So we can't comment exactly what's taking place. We're just trying to understand it to the best of our ability. These are a very result of pastimes. But the main point to understand as we study the 10th canto is that Krishna is always remembering Vrindavan. Even when he's outside of Vrindavan. Like now, we're in Dwarka, but Krishna is fully absorbed in Vrindavan, and now the gopis are appearing in Vrindavan. And in other places it says, after 100 years of separation, Radharani is still in Vrindavan for those 100 years. Krishna goes back at the end, after 100 years the curse of Sri Dharma has subsided, goes back and marries them and then takes them back to Dwarka. So there's all sorts of explanations. None of them are right, none of them are wrong. They all happen simultaneously, or in different ages, or different pastimes, or different appearances, or simultaneously they're all happening. In some forms, Krishna is with the gopis, in some forms he's not with the gopis. Piparlama is being experienced, Sambhoga is being experienced. It's very intricate like that. Any questions?
Vishakha.
In when she comes in, she hasn't appeared yet. Yeah, I know who she is. Just wait.
Prabhupada, you said that.
Someone patient. Just wait. But no, but if you guess, right? If you think of the 8 main queens, right? So you have Rukmini, Satyabhama, Jambavati, Mitra, Bhadra, Kalindi. Padma is a queen? Not a gopi? No, she's a gopi.
Yeah. She's a gopi.
As well?
She's a gopi, but I'm not sure that she's a queen.
Yeah, I know that, but I'm just saying who the names of the 8 queens. Mitra Binda, I can't remember. So just from what we mentioned, who would you think she was? Yeah, Kalindi. Kalindi, yeah, because she is the Jamuna. for Kalindi. So when she goes to Dwarka, she's called Kalindi. In Vrindavan, she's called Vishaka. She appears in the next couple of chapters. And there's a pastime behind. Bhagavatam doesn't mention it. When we get to that, I'll tell you. There's some pastime. There's some details.
Prabhu, you said something about Vishaka embraced Lord Krishna under the border.
Radharani.
So she embraced him.
Yeah.
And then what happened to Vishaka?
She followed.
Okay, so he embraced Radharani and then she followed Radharani.
Yeah.
And they both went to
Sun planet.
And then where was Lalita?
She jumped off Govardhan Hill.
Okay. She was not in the water.
No, she was on the phone.
Okay.
She watched. She was
there. Regarding the exam questions, can you take a class that what you are expecting us to write? Because
one word.
Like whether you want to write us from the Bhagavad.
Only one word: realizations. If you repeat the when I'm marking the exams, and I'm reading your answer, and you're writing all the story. I'm not reading that. In my mind I'm going, I wish they weren't writing this because I know it all and it doesn't mean anything about the question which has been asked.
But it's linked to that
leading to it means, you know, you say, okay, Krishna acted like this with Rukmini. That's all I need to know. But when it goes like, you know, she came out of the temple and then and it's like you're half the, you know, you've got about 47 verses there. Right, and then you start giving your answer. It doesn't really lead to anything. I'm just making it easy for you guys because you know you're sitting there for 2 hours writing. You might as well write something which is actually relevant.
So can you take a class regarding?
That's what I'm saying. Just give your realizations. That's the class. That's all you need to do. Write your own realizations. Or if you want, then photocopy the Bhagavatam, bring that in, paste that to your page, save yourself writing it all, and then just write underneath what you actually want to say.
There's a link to the Bhagavatam.
I know that because I'm studying the Bhagavatam. I'm just making it easy for you. You can keep doing it if you want, but you won't get good marks. So do whatever you want. I don't mind what you do.
No, that's what I want to ask you. Give us an example,
okay?
Like, give us a few
okay,
questions.
Okay, what I'll do is I'll mark the exams. I haven't marked them yet because I had a retreat on the weekend. I've been too busy. This weekend I have another retreat, but I'm not running it. So I'm going to try to mark all the exams this weekend.
Yeah.
When I come to class next time, I'll choose one of the exams which is very good.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And I'll read some of the answers, and that'll give you an idea.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and then you can photocopy, you can find that devotee, you can pay them some money.
No, not like that. Just realizations mean what you're expecting from us.
Hare Baba. It's like me. Like I can sit here right now, and I can say, oh, Krishna said this, and I can just give you, I can tell you the storyline. Or sometimes I can tell you what's going on in my heart, how it affects me. That has more effect.
But you can give the quotations, can't you?
You can quote shlokas, that's good. As long as they connect to the actual. But the point is, don't just give the story along, because I know the story. You know, if you give the story, it doesn't prove anything, except you've got a good memory. So then which aim did you satisfy? Knowledge. Fantastic, you're knowledgeable. Hare Krishna. That's very, no, it is. It's good. You're knowledgeable. You know, I respect that, and you know that's a wonderful quality to have. However, there are 11 other aims. Why we study? You know, how do you personally apply it? How do you apply it to your preaching? What are your realizations? What is your mood? How do you understand the mission? Right? What are your realizations? How do you accept authority? What is the theological application? Right, there's many aims, so we're testing many things. TK? Acha? Okay. Any other points?
So, in the lecture recently, someone came and told Srila Prabhupada that I have read your Srimad Bhagavatam, and it's not any different than Ramanujacharya's Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada said, that means I have succeeded. Representing same time, Prabhupada also says that my purpose are my devotional excesses. So in one sense, adherence to whatever has been spoken is required, but at the same time, Prabhupada also gave his realization of the purpose. So good example of Prabhupada's.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's the right way to understand. Because Prabhupada says, repeat in your own words. You know, there's nothing more boring than going to Bhagavatam class on Saturday morning and some devotee's just sitting there and he's just speaking all knowledge. He's saying, oh, it says like this and it says like that, and he quotes all the slogans, but there's no realizations there. You know, when I'm there, I'm just thinking, what am I doing here? I know all this. I know the story. I've heard the stories 5 times. I know all the stories. I want to hear the devotee's realization. You know, that's when it becomes relishable. If you look at all the great speakers in our movement, all our gurus, like, you know, your guru, have a look. You know, he doesn't just speak pastimes. You know, he gives his heart, his realizations. That's why he captivates the audience. Yes. Okay, which verse are we on?
32.
33. Okay, so Lalita has appeared at this point in time. After Lord Shori had entered the cave, the people of Dwarika, who had accompanied him, had waited 12 days without seeing him come out again. Finally, they had given up and returned to their city in great sorrow. So if you go to Vrindavan, and if you go to Govardhan Hill, and at Govardhan Hill you go to Puncheru. Now where is Puncheru? Yeah, right down the very end. Right? And then if you go to Lota Baba, anyone be? Darshan? Lota Baba? You seen? Yeah, Lota Baba. Okay. So Lota Baba, it says he's been sitting there for 5,000 years. Because Krishna left Vrindavan, he's waiting for him to come back. So Rupa Goswami says, if you want to be successful in devotional service, you have to have Utsahan, Ishchayat, Dayat. Dayat means? You have to be patient. You can't leave. Right? If you leave, you miss everything. Some devotees leave the Hare Krishna movement. You know anyone who's left? Well, I know people have left. Even recently, some devotees have left. Obviously, people I know, people who are actually part of this community. People have left. People leave. But then if you leave, you don't get Krishna. So you have to stay, like Lota Baba. Right? Just sit there. So what happened? The devotees left after 12 days. Right? And then they didn't get to see Krishna come back out. So we have to develop that quality. Darya. Darya means be very patient. Sometimes it's difficult. But Krishna is watching you during the difficult times. When it gets difficult, Krishna is watching. Do you still stay? Or do you take off? Go around to the Buddhist temple or in the corner. Or to that Sikh temple. Or down the Karam Downs to the Shiva Vishnu. You know, it's not working out here, so you go down to Shiva Vishnu and then you pray to all the gods. Or do you just stay? Right? Even when it's difficult. It's easy to stay when everything's easy. That's easy. We can all do that. But who stays when it is difficult? So you have to develop dayat. Dayat means patience. I will just stay. Right? It becomes difficult. And we know, because when you practice devotional service for a number of years, you know the difficulties are coming all the time. You know, I had that experience in my life. I know right now it's not that difficult. But I just know it's around the corner. You know, I know it's coming. You know, I wake up every morning, I just, you know, in my mind I say to Krishna, is it today? Is this when you're going to send the next Leela? You know, I'm just waiting for it. Oh no, it's coming. Yeah, it's just a matter of time. Because, you know, we've been through it so many times. If it's good, it means, you know, Krishna's just having some fun, that's all. So the next one's going to come. But I also know that when the difficulty comes, I just have to be like the tortoise, because Krishna teaches that in the Bhagavad Gita. He said, when the difficulty comes, you just be like the tortoise. Right? Just pull your senses in and just settle down and just wait for it to ride in. So that's the nature of devotional service. You have to be patient. Don't leave just because it's getting a little difficult. Don't stop your chanting just because it gets a little bit difficult. Stay fixed in devotion. And the most important point is don't lose your enthusiasm when it comes difficult. When it becomes difficult, Bhaktitirtha Swami says you have to become more enthusiastic. That's difficult to do. But when it comes difficult, you get maybe more enthusiastic yourself. Hare Krishna. Any points?
Who is
Rupa?
Who is Rupa? Who is
Lord Lota Baba.
How
do you spell it? L-O-T-A Baba.
Lota. Who is he?
He's one of Krishna's friends.
Okay.
You can. Mm-hmm. Next time you go to Brind, do you go to Govardhan Hill sometimes when you go to Brindavan?
Yeah.
You go? Then go to Puncheri.
Okay.
Just ask the, get a driver. When you go next time, just get a driver and say, take me to Lota Baba at Puncheri, at Govardhan Hill. They'll take you there. And then famous, famous temple.
Okay.
He's very nice, D. He's very famous in Brindavan.
It comes from the word Lota.
Okay.
Lord gave up a
song. Okay. That's easy to remember.
Okay. When Devaki, Rohini Devi, Vasudev, and the Lord's other relatives and friends heard that he had not come back out of the cave, they all lamented. So this is the arrangement of Yoga Maya, because they feel like Krishna actually may have left his body. Only Yoga Maya can make the devotees think like that. Just like when they saw him dancing on the hoods of Kaliya, they felt like that also. He might die. Actually, that feeling. You know, we don't feel like that. You know, we just see the past and we just say, oh, he's not going to die. You know, he's God, he's Krishna, he's not going to die. You know? But they, because they're covered by Yoga Maya, they actually had the feeling that Krishna might die. Or they have the feeling that he's gone into the cave, he didn't come back. The other devotees went back and said he didn't come out. And people in Dwarka actually think he's not there anymore. That's an extremely exalted level of consciousness. Cursing Satrajit, the sorrowful residents of Dwarka approached the Durga deity named Chandra Bhaga and prayed to her for Krishna's return. When the citizens had finished worshipping the demigoddess, she spoke to them in response, promising to grant their request. Just then, Lord Krishna, who had achieved his purpose, appeared before them in the company of his new wife, filling them with joy. So the deity will reciprocate with us. There are examples in our tradition where the deity spoke, and we know with Shakshi Gopal, the deity walked across India, and the deity was speaking, and there are pastimes where the deity ate the offering. Some devotees offered to the deity, and they came back, and everything was gone.
Mm-hmm.
So many leelas are there. So the deity reciprocated. So when we pray to the deity, according to our devotion, we will get reciprocation with the deity. And even if you become advanced, you may even see things take place. When you take darshan, sometimes a flower or something drops. That's an indication from the deity. Whatever you're meditating on at that time, and sometimes like a flower or something drops, and that's an indication. It's like a blessing from the deity. Sometimes it happens.
See, probably Rukmini's father had to help me take a promise from Lord Krishna that he won't marry anybody without her permission.
Bhishmaka.
Yeah.
Yeah, he made a
promise.
He made Krishna promise that he would not marry a second queen without Rukmini's permission.
So she's coming to her there, I think.
Yeah, they're not married yet. It says like this in the Bhagavad Gita, but they're not married.
Okay.
He's just brought her back.
Okay.
And actually, he hides most of the queens because he starts collecting them.
Okay.
He goes out and starts getting them. But because Rukmini has this condition, he doesn't bring them back to the palace. Right? He hides a few of them in caves and things like this.
Oh, right.
Until it gets sorted out with Rukmini. And then she gives permission, then he starts bringing them out. And I'll tell you about that in the next few weeks. We can't say everything at once because...
Thank you.
You're welcome. But yeah, he actually hides them. Satyabhama is the most interesting, actually, because she is Radharani, and there's a whole pastime taking place, but we'll tell that in the next few weeks. Okay. Seeing Lord Hrishikesh return as if from death, accompanied by his new wife and wearing the Shamantaka jewel on his neck, all the people were roused to jubilation. So in Krishna's pastimes, everything always finish auspiciously. There's no negativity in Krishna's pastimes. Yeah, everything turns out nicely. But Krishna just likes to cause anxiety because that makes the pastime more relishable. So there will always be separation before the union. Before Krishna comes back with the devotees, there will always be some separation just to intensify the emotions.
But Samvartika jewel was with Radharani. So how is that?
It was with Radharani, and then the sun god gave it to Satyajit, and then Jambavan got it, and now Jambavan gave it back to Krishna. And Krishna's just brought it back to Dwarka.
So Radharani gave it to the sun god?
Yeah. Lord Krishna summoned Satyajit to the royal assembly. There, in the presence of King Ugrasen, Krishna announced the recovery of the jewel and then formally presented it to Satyajit. So we should also follow Krishna's example. Devotional, our relationships with the other devotees are based on two qualities. What does Prabhupada say?
Trust and love.
Yeah, love and trust. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's 600. But love and trust, right? Between the devotees, there must be these two qualities. There has to be love and there has to be trust. If there's not, it doesn't work. ISKCON falls apart. Has to be love, has to be trust. So what does Krishna do? He goes and gets the jewel and then he comes back and says, here, have it back. He doesn't think, oh, now I've got it. So he creates the right atmosphere. Right? If this atmosphere is created, that's what the spiritual world is like, and then ISKCON becomes like the spiritual world. And then people will join. But if all the devotees are crazy, right, no one's going to join. Yeah? Just like I was speaking to one lady yesterday, she came to our Sunday feast. She visited one Hare Krishna temple community 20 years ago. And she said, there was so much fighting, I never went back. She told me that. So I never went back, 20 years. And then she came again yesterday, and she said, yes, and when she came yesterday to her event, she said, no, I like the atmosphere. Because she can tell, we actually like each other. Love and trust. Me and Money Agreement, we're like brothers. Actually, we're like that, like brothers. Love and trust. And people pick up on that. The devotees are all criticizing and crazy, and who's going to join? At least in this class, there should be love and trust. Sometimes I hear some devotees arguing inside this class over the last 10, 15 years, so I always get them, tell them, come, and then we speak. What is the problem? Give up your... We will not tolerate that in here. Outside these walls, you can do whatever you want, but in here, there has to be love and trust. Hare Krishna. Please help. Any Hanging his head in great shame, Satrajit took the gem and returned home, all the while feeling remorse for his sinful behavior. So one thing I've noticed in my devotional life over the years, Krishna always purifies us in the best way. Krishna always knows how to purify you, but in the way that will be most beneficial for you. Very interesting how he does this. So with Satrajit, he could have chastised, he could have gone in front of everyone and he could have said, "You nonsense, why did you do like that?" But he gave him the jewel back, treating him very respectfully, and the Satrajit was shamed, and he got some realizations. So sometimes Krishna does this to us. Sometimes Krishna points something out to us in our lives and makes us realize something about ourselves. He does it in a very particular way.
So if you lament, does it purify you?
If you do something wrong, you have to lament, otherwise you don't get purified. Pondering over his grievous offense and worried about the possibility of conflict with the Lord's almighty devotees, King Satrajit thought, "How can I cleanse myself of my contamination? And how may Lord Achyutya become satisfied with me? What can I do to regain my good fortune and avoid being cursed by the populace for being so short-sighted, miserly, foolish, and avaricious? I shall give my daughter, the jewel of all women, to the Lord together with the Shamantaka jewel. That indeed is the only proper way to pacify him."
Satrajit
was
living in
Dwarka,
correct?
Yeah.
What
do
you call
him, king? So many kings in Dwarka. Different families and all that. So many kings. I won't explain that right now, but there's so many kings. You can ask me another time. He realizes that I've upset Krishna, and if you upset Krishna, who else becomes upset? The devotees. If Krishna is offended, the devotees get very upset. So now he's worried because he thinks the other warriors may turn on him because he's offended Krishna. So Satyaki and all these powerful warriors may turn on him. So the basic lesson is don't upset the devotees. Devotees are very nice people, but if you upset them, it can be very heavy. So you have to be very careful. Having thus intelligently made up his mind, King Satrajit personally arranged to present Lord Krishna with his fair daughter and the Shamantaka jewel. The Lord married Satyabhama in proper religious fashion. Possessed of excellent behavior along with beauty, broad-mindedness, and all other good qualities, she had been sought by many men. The Supreme Personality of Godhead told Satrajit, "We do not care to take this jewel back, O King. You are the sun god's devotee, so let it stay in your possession. Thus we will also enjoy its benefits." So why was Krishna not so concerned about the jewel? Because what did he get with the jewel? Satyabhama. So he's just got Radharani back. So why is he worried about a jewel? He has Radharani. So he's everything that he wants, he's just achieved again. His dearest desire has just been fulfilled. So the jewel means nothing to him. He said, "You keep the jewel. I don't care. Right, I finally got Radharani." There's a whole pastime behind this. We'll have to tell it in the next week or two. Because it's a lot of details about Radharani and Krishna coming back to you. Srila Prabhupada ki.